Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. Pete, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. It was a little touch and go that I was going to be on. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It wasn't actually anything major. Nothing dangerous was happening to me or anything like that, like the month of August was, if anybody was concerned listening to this. But it was a little bit, basically last night it was a little bit like, I don't know if I was going to be up in time, but I really didn't want to miss this episode. I was really looking forward to doing this one.
Yeah, and part of the reason you're really looking forward to it is because we have a third host here, and it's someone that you guys all love and have seen before. It's Sharif. Don't do me dirty, because all I want is love, Hamilton. Sharif, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Fine. That's all he says. That's it. I'm fine. Oh my God. But Sharif, how has things been going on for you over on the East Coast? We're representing all sections, in a sense, of the United States. We got the West Coast in old Pete here, Central here in me, and now you in the East Coast. How's things going on over there?
Things are okay. I would say they're pretty hot, but I can't say that due to our other hosts. So things are warm, and yes, that's it.
Hey, it's all relative speaking, all right? Don't let Pete over there with his triple digit weather try to make you feel like, hey, it's not hot where you're at. You rock that, all right, Sharif. Don't let Pete be the only one that can say that it's hot.
As someone who has lived in all three of these regions that we're talking about, shout out to the mountain area. Denver is a lovely, lovely town, lovely city. When you get to some dog days of summer, especially in August, it's hot no matter where you go. Whether it's triple digits in the desert where I'm at, whether it's like 85 but feels disgustingly humid like it is over by the Midwest typically is, or whether it's just hot and just, you know, just gross and gnarly and like stormy over on the East Coast. Like, it's hot everywhere, man. No, like, so I'm not sitting here taking credit for that crap.
But real quick, before we get into the show, you said we're going to talk about it a little bit, the touch and go, Pete. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to talk about it in our upcoming, or our talking about our what we've been playing lately? Was it that
touch and go? Yeah, I mean, I guess they kind of go hand in hand. So, I mean, it depends on what you want, how you want to do this.
All right. Well, then we'll go into the open, and then we'll get into that part of the section. But everybody that is tuning in here to the One More Game podcast, thank you all for tuning in to the One More Game podcast. This is a podcast centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, whether it's Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. If there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every Friday. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out the submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. Or when we normally are live streaming this over on youtube.com/pressstart28, you could drop it off into the chat here. But as we have referenced several times across the past episodes, I am moving. At the time that you are listening to this podcast, I have actually moved into my house, but likely don't have everything set up, which is why we're recording a little bit ahead of time. But I will be in my new location by the next week's episode that you're going to be checking out right now. So normally, again, live streaming, youtube.com/pressstart28. So Pete, we'll start with you. One, if this is your first time to the podcast, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen, and I hope you enjoy your stay. But if you are returning, we already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So Pete, what have you been playing lately?
So, that's kind of the reason why I almost decided to pull an all-nighter gaming last night before pre-recording. And it got to like 2:30 and I was like, man, I really want to make sure I'm actually sort of coherent for this episode. I really don't want to miss it. So then about 2 o'clock, I laid down. And at 2:30, I was like, I got to get more games in. So I got up and like played another couple of games for about another half hour. And then it was like 3 a.m. I was like, all right, I'm done. We're calling it good. And I went and finally passed out like sometime after 3. I was watching anime on my phone, so I don't know exactly when that happened. But, you know, finally I was able to relax. So I am just having an absolute blast playing the new set from Magic the Gathering on Magic Arena. Specifically, their limited portions, their draft and their sealed. It has been and just the most fun I've had in Magic in a long ass time. The standard, the constructed, is a little bit touch and go because there's one particular color that seems to be the best thing you could be doing. So basically, every match is essentially some kind of the black is the color that's the most dominant right now. Every deck seems to be black, just straight black cards or black plus white cards or black plus white blue cards or black plus red cards, just a bunch of that stuff. So that one kind of has like been hit and miss with me. I mean, the games are kind of fun and interesting, but the format is also not, you know, after a while it's like, all right, no, this is different. But the draft, I feel like I'm playing a different game every time. All my decks have been different. All my opponent's decks have been mostly different. It's been really entertaining. So that's been number one. And number two actually kind of coincides what we're going to talk about today. I've been playing, I started playing a little bit of a game called Coffee Talk on Xbox, the Xbox Game Pass. I downloaded that on my PC and started playing that a little bit. And it's a visual novel, story based, about it's a world where basically like, all the, horror characters, I guess if you want to call it, from like the classics, like werewolves and vampires and demons like succubi and elves and stuff like that, are part of like the natural world, our world. And you're basically placed in Seattle and you own a coffee shop. And it's been a very interesting story so far. Basically, people come in and they kind of like they interact with you as the barista. They interact with each other. You know, they have like, you know, couple of characters you meet is a couple, an elf and a succubi, who are dating at the time, but their families aren't permitting it. And so you kind of listen in on that. So it's been kind of a really interesting, really interesting story, really interesting game. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. Which I usually am not with visual novels. I haven't given them I haven't given them a lot of try, but the few that I have, I usually like get turned off or bored pretty quickly. So this one I'm actually looking forward to trying to go deeper on. So I'm hoping it keeps being as entertaining as it has been.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying Magic, as I made mention before on the podcast, because of when you last uninstalled it. And I'm also glad you're enjoying Coffee Talk, because I know that Coffee Talk got reviewed very well. Rest in peace to Rami, the creator of Coffee Talk, who passed away unexpectedly earlier this summer. So glad you're enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to myself actually of diving into Coffee Talk at some point. Haven't done it yet. Sharif, before you talk about your games, just a quick question. Have you played Coffee Talk at all?
Not, but my nephew did, and he keeps telling me I should try it because he knows that I like visual novels. So definitely on my list to play.
Well, I when you get a chance to play it, obviously, even if it's not here on the podcast, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it and get your perspective. But for yourself, what have you been playing lately?
I haven't played much except for Yakuza Like a Dragon.
You went back to Yakuza?
Yeah, so I went back to get a couple of trophies because it was this one section of the I guess you would say after game stuff that you can do that I could not beat. And one of our mutual friends, he's recently been asking me stuff about it, and he like played it like straight from beginning to end, and he beat the end game stuff. So he was giving me some pointers to try to go back because he asked me to share a screen, and he's saying that I got like destroyed within like two hits, even though I was level 99.
Oh, I think we lost Sharif there.
Sharif.
We'll hopefully get Sharif back here in a second. You just heard him trail off there. 99. Yeah, yeah. But hopefully he comes back here in a little bit. But the reason I made mention of it, of course, as he was kind of saying, is I've talked with Sharif about Yakuza Like a Dragon quite a bit. And this guy has like played the heck out of it. Oh, I heard him for a brief second. Sharif, are you back?
What happened? I was in the middle of talking and then it just cut out.
Yeah, you're back now, though. You're at least back on it. So as you were saying, you're at level 99.
I don't know where it cut off at, but I'm at level 99 and I'm just working on getting my other jobs up to 99. So that's all I played, like, here and there. I haven't did much gaming this week due to just schedule.
Yeah, understandably so. And yeah, as I was just finishing up real quick, it's like, yeah, Sharif has played the heck out of Yakuza Like a Dragon. So it was just interesting to hear him say that he went back to it. Because I forgot, I thought you had gotten all the trophies. I know you were really close to getting all of them. So it sounds like you just have a couple more things to do and then you'll have them all complete. Is that correct?
Only missing three. The other two I can actually get, but I wanted to get this hard one. I kept telling myself that I want to get this one first, then I'll go mop up the easy stuff. And that's what I'm working on doing.
There you go. So for myself, I have not actually been playing much of like any new games, partially because of the move. So I've been doing a lot of, getting that stuff ready. So I played more of Resonance of Fate, getting further in that. Of course, I've been streaming over here on youtube.com/pressstart28 the Last Remnant, getting a little bit further on that. I played a little bit of Dusk Diver. Obviously, all these games that I've talked about before, enjoying all of them. I think that they are worth checking out. So if you have the opportunity, go check those out. And then I've been watching my wife play more Rune Factory. And today, the day of recording, is we are going to spend time tonight playing some more Ace Attorney, the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, I guess I should say, getting further in that. So we'll see how all those things go. And I'm also looking forward to getting in the mail. I should be getting Eurekill, the Culmination games. So I'll finally be able to play that after I played the demo, which I did write a preview on that you can go check out at pressstartnews.net. But that's all that we've been playing lately. So let's get into the podcast because we have quite the open discussion aspect of this. So again, I am moving, as again, at the time of you listening to this recording, I will have moved into my house. So we obviously can't talk about news of the week if it's 2 weeks away. So I can't say that, of course, what's going to go on. So we decided to do a open discussion part. And it was something that I kind of thought up that I had been wanting to talk about a little bit at some point. We might even do a part two of this at some point down the road. But I wanted to talk about games with stories that resonated or changed you. So obviously, people play video games for a variety of reasons. Some, it's for the competitive aspect. Some, it's for the graphics. Some, it's just because it touches on a topic that they may enjoy. But for others, including myself, I love playing games with large stories, good stories, great stories. It's why I'm a huge JRPG fan. So I wanted to kind of go into that and have an open discussion. And so it's not going to be like it was before with some of our open discussions where we bring in five games or a top five and we list those off. It's kind of one I want to just discuss openly with each other and get perspectives, and we can kind of pick the brains of how each one starts. And so I want to actually open it up with one game in particular. And no, it's not Kingdom Hearts, even though I've talked about that game making me cry at the very end before. I want to talk about first, just from my perspective, and it's a game that I feel and believe that both of you guys have played, which is why I want to open up with it, is Final Fantasy X. So when I remember back, of course, when Final Fantasy X launched on PlayStation 2, how just right away from the get-go, I was hooked on the world, the story, the badass rock music that starts off as they get ready to play Blitzball, in Zanarkand, and just how that game unfolds. Obviously, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't played Final Fantasy X, so if you don't want to listen to this podcast, make sure you skip. But I made a TikTok on it, and it blew up because a lot of people felt the same way. That game was so, inspiring to me, and it changed my perspective a lot when it came to video games in just how it unfolded to the point of Tidus and what you find out from him and how things go. And so before I get into it, I guess I want to start off with you, Sharif. From that, again, my opening one that I want to talk about is Final Fantasy X. I guess, how much did you enjoy or resonate with Final Fantasy X's story and how it laid out?
Actually, never played it.
What?
Yes, what? I know.
Oh my gosh, Sharif. You have lost brownie All points right. in my book.
Usually, I would be like, play whatever you want. But the fact he went back to Yakuza Like a Dragon before, come on, man! Like at least try it out, man. What are you doing?
I own it. Here's the
you
thing.
Own
I
own it. And it. You haven't played it. What are Listen. You, Jeremy?
Possibly the lighter version. I have it on the Vita, and I have it on the Xbox as of recently. I'm a 10 of 10 too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played maybe like the first hour of it, and I got sidetracked.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, if you want to hear a funny story about it, I was playing this when Jeremy recommended that I try The Legend of Heroes, Cold Steel 1 and 2, and the rest was history after that. So, yeah, it's kind of his fault.
Yeah, I am the one who really got Sharif into Legend of Heroes, so it makes total sense. All right, well, I guess then I'll shift the conversation real quick to you, Pete, because I know we've had discussions about Final Fantasy X, but, like, I guess for you, like, how did you feel about the story of Final Fantasy X, in especially as the years go on?
I've actually never played Final Fantasy X. No, I'm kidding. It's just... it's a fascinating story. I remember the opening sequence was probably the thing that it's one of the sequences that's grasped me the most out of I think any game. Just the way they're kind of everybody's sitting by the campfire, and you're obviously joining at that point in media res, kind of, even though it shifts back pretty quickly. It shifts back a couple of I don't even know if they have like technically times, but probably weeks, maybe a month before like the segment that they're in at that point. Completely different from the actual starting point, but I meant after you get through that first little bit.
Yeah.
With the Zanarkand. I don't know if we're caring about spoilers or not, because there's so much talking about that part. So, but like the fact that it was just like kind of like a really like, you have the one of the main themes of Zanarkand, kind of like it's the more like a somber version. It's not the the usual like the, it's not that the main one isn't the main Zanarkand theme isn't somber, but it's kind of more like grandiose. Like this one kind of like is just like a little bit like a, if I recall, it's just like a tiny piano, like the music sets the scene. And when you're going into the opening scene, it's just it grasped me from the sense of like, okay, a lot of shit has gone down and you're gonna have to play through that to get to this point, but it's obviously brought all these people that are in this group closer together. And like especially like the moment like where Tidus passes, as an aside, his name is Tidus. Okay, I know they say it's Tidus. It's Tidus. Tidus. Okay,
I hate it too, but it is Tidus.
I hate it. It's so bad. Tidus is so bad. Anyway, Tidus passes Yuna, and they kind of have like a moment, which it's just a moment, but it speaks so much to like, you know, how close they get from when you first they first actually meet, where Yuna's kind of like in awe almost of Tidus because of who he's related to, Jekt, who was friends with her friends and traveling companions with her father. And she's almost in awe of Tidus because she's in awe of Jekt, because the Jekt she knows is completely different from the Jekt that Tidus knows. And it didn't really hit me until years later, kind of, where one of my coworkers and friends at the station we used to work at, WGEM, told me a little bit of a similar story. So the story of Jekt, Jekt was not the best father figure for Tidus. They don't really go into why. Like, you could probably speculate that, like, he was more focused on his career. Maybe like his upbringing didn't really show him how to be a father figure necessarily. I don't think they really go in too deep in Jekt's past usually.
They do, but it's more so in the back segments. And it's kind of one of those things where like you have to pick up the pieces. Like, it doesn't blatantly tell you, but like you're kind of talking about, right? Jekt was a star blitzball player. Everyone adored him. Everyone loved him, right? He soaked in the atmosphere of being this star player. However, just like with anything, right? Father time starts to catch up with you. Jekt started to lose that aura. He turned towards drinking and became, you know, this neglectful dad who was a drunkard, right? And there's all these things about that matter, that he cared more about the celebrity status and drinking than he did his own family. Mm-hmm. And as you said, like, it changes completely later on.
So, because most of the stuff that I picked up was like Jekt when he was like traveling with Orin and what's Yuna's father's name?
Lord Braska.
Braska. So, in comparison, for Jekt's story, which also captivated me as you play the game and you learn more about the characters, was, like I said, one of our coworkers, he was telling me about his father one time, and his father wasn't like a terrible dad, but was not around as much as you would like normally think of a father figure would be, but he was really helpful in the community. He was always helping like, communities that were underdeveloped, not like looked forward to. I don't remember exactly the job, if he was like a politician, like a local politician, or if he was like more like a lawyer or something like that. I don't remember the job specifically, but he helped all these families that needed help desperately, but he necessarily wasn't kind of at the neglection of his own family, unfortunately, in that case. But like, he was telling me when his father passed away, he was there at the wake and the funeral, and so many people he didn't know came up and were like telling stories about how his father had helped them along when they needed it. And Jekt, like you were saying, it's really interesting. You see the Jekt through Tidus's eyes, and then you also see the Jekt specifically through Yuna's eyes, but she represents kind of like the more global, like the fans from the original, the Xanarkin you first meet when Tidus is also a star blitzball player, and also the fact that Jekt is a hero in the world after the fact, with Yuna and Waka and all that. Another storytelling element that I really enjoyed also, just really briefly before we move along, is just like all the characters represent different things about the world that we kind of like interact with. Like Waka, like, he's a generally good dude who has really shitty opinions about, Riku's race? Albed. Yeah, the Albed. Just really terrible views. And he's not the only one. He just represents that group. You have Kimari, who is kind of like a look down upon race a little bit, but they're mostly treated with respect, but they're also kind of like thought as like lumbering oafs in a sense. Like the person, one of the person people in charge is with the Ronso, who's also in charge, like kind of like one of the leading like bishops or priests or whatever.
They're basically bishops.
They're called, like, he's left out of the loop for a lot of the other stuff that's going on with amongst the other bishops and the other leaders of the society. And so you just have all these things that are kind of like just all these story elements that are really woven well together. And they also let you introduce like the different elements of how the world interacts with them and how their characters and how their characteristics, how their cultures of the characters themselves interact with each other. And it's just a really well-crafted tale. But that first scene, there's just so much in that first scene that like when you go and through the game to get to that point, means so much more when you're going through. And I don't remember before that having ever seen a scene like that.
Yeah, I want to say just before I asked Sharif the game that he brought, but like the quote, honestly, as you said, that opening scene is so impactful. But as you play the game, as you finish it, that quote that it starts the game off with, please listen to my story, this may be our only chance. Like, as you go through the game, it's like that quote just resonates so much and so impactful that like I love that scene so much. And when I saw Distant World, which is the orchestra show of Final Fantasy,
so good. I haven't actually seen them perform yet live, but like I want to. And the music every time I listen is so great.
Oh yeah, sorry. It's so awesome. Sorry. But it's one of those things where like, you know, obviously you have a lot of Final Fantasy fans, but when they started playing Xanarkand, the entire crowd said that out loud because it just resonates so, you know, so much from playing that game of please listen to my story, this may be our only chance. So I totally recommend it. Sharif, go and play it. But Sharif, what's a game that, you know, had a story that resonated or changed with you?
It's a lot. What can I use? I don't want to cheat and use Spider-Man.
You can use whatever game you want to talk about.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Mass Effect. And reason why I use Mass Effect is because it took me a while to get into that game because I had a friend that had just bought the game or whatever, and he didn't have the time to play it. So I put the game in, and the first few minutes is kind of boring. So I just took it out the system, sat it to the side, gave it back to when I seen him. Years later, like, I would say sometime after the second one came out, I played the second one and was like, okay, because it's more like a shooter almost. I went back and played the first one because I wanted the story for when the third one came out. And just seeing, like, the side missions, like the loyalty missions and stuff, like how things would drastically change if you didn't get this to this point or that point or that point or that point. It really stood out with me because I'm big on loyalty, and just to see like you were able to actually bring all your characters through the suicide mission and live was just dope for me.
Yeah, I've honestly made mention of this before. I've never played Mass Effect. Part of that is because when Mass Effect, I think it was 1 and 2, when they first released, they were only on Xbox, and I didn't own an Xbox. And it wasn't until later when Mass Effect 3 finally came out, and it was for PS3 and Xbox, when I had an opportunity to play it. And at that point, I just, you know, was playing other games. So I've never played it, but I do know, as you're saying, we have a number of mutual friends between all three of us, even some friends that I have that from the side that you guys don't know about, that like talk about Mass Effect with high regards and how much they love it. Now, I'm going to assume, Sharif, too, you're probably in this guard. Now, don't talk to them about Mass Effect 3's ending because a lot of people are not happy with that. But Mass Effect 1 and 2.
I'm one of them in a sense. And I picked Mass Effect also because two other games that I want to talk about, I'm not sure if you played, which the Cold Steel series. I don't want to give no spoilers, so we'll say that for part two when you set part two up. And Spider-Man. Because that ending, man, oh boy, was rough, but it was still a good game. I even wanted to use Ghost of Tsushima, but you never went back to it, so I was limited in my pick.
I have it installed on my PS5, for the record. I have Ghost of Tsushima on there. I just have not booted it up yet. And I will.
But did you touch?
I will. No, I have not yet. I will, but I'm waiting right now, especially with the move, but I'm trying to get through the last remnant at the very minimum before I start a new game. So I'm really trying to just boil that down. Pete, did you ever play Mass Effect?
That was one of the games I did not ever actually get access to. I did not actually have not played it. I haven't even played Mass Effect 3, even though that was available on a bunch of systems. The closest thing I could say that I played that was similar to Mass Effect, and I don't even know if you'd say it was similar, I played the Knights of the Old Republic series. So I know they're made by the same group. Like I said, I've never actually played the Mass Effect, the games, but like y'all said, I have a bunch of friends, between us and others that have played Mass Effect and have repeatedly said I'm an idiot for not trying it out. And I definitely need to get that on my list and to-do list and get that at least give it a taste, give it a try. I mean, and I usually like those kind of games anyway. There are, it's an RPG. I like the Knights of the Old Republic gameplay and style. I mean, granted, it was in the Star Wars universe, so I was a little more attached to that than I would be for Mass Effect. But I also know, like, you know, just listening to Sharif talk about it, I could tell like how much he enjoys and likes that game, except for Mass Effect 3's ending. I also got that he did not enjoy that, as a lot of my other friends also did.
Yeah.
Not. So
yeah,
that was understandable as well.
Well, Pete, like you and myself, we have the opportunity to play it because the Mass Effect collection is on Game Pass. And if you didn't get it on Game Pass for a little while, it was given for free for Amazon Prime members. So I have it in those two range. So I, at some point I will play it. But yeah, I just have
that's
not
what
played
I was chiming
yet.
In to tell you.
Yeah. See, Sharif was already about to get us on our toes and be like, hey,
here's the thing, Pass, right? Real quick. Now. With the Mass Effect 3 ending, it's not that I hated it entirely. It's just, all right, without spoiling anything for you guys, they put out stuff where everyone was getting these theories that actually made sense and were going with it. And then they came out of nowhere and said no. Then they put out some DLC that was just, yeah, for the ending, and it's just like, okay.
Yeah, if
still a good game.
If I remember correctly, Sharif, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and we'll keep it obviously very basic to try to avoid some spoilers. But again, as I gave at the beginning, spoiler warning for any of these discussions, because they could tread on those things. One of the biggest issues that had with the Mass Effect 3 ending is because BioWare did, obviously, as you said, Pete, in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, but of course with Mass Effect, is they are really big on choice systems. So your choices, your actions affect the story, the players, the controls, the relationships. But the ending for Mass Effect 3 kind of made all those choices leading up to those point non-existent, and basically the ending just, depending on your choices, changed the color that the ending screen basically came, like, showed. Is that safe to kind of, like, summarize it as? Because I remember that discourse around it.
Because it was at a point where me, Kyle, TK, etc., we were all talking back and forth about it, and it's like, oh, I made this decision, or I made that decision. And everybody still came with the same conclusion at the end. It's just like, we did all of this kind of for nothing. Like, I was cool with the ending until I did more research and just how they was like, oh, okay, no, that's not what's going on. And yeah, was just so vague about it.
Yeah, I remember it being that it was just like, it made it feel like, again, for as you're saying as well, and those that love BioWare, the choice was like impactful to, like, you felt like in the previous games your choices actually did matter, but how they ended it was like, your choices don't matter, you're getting this ending regardless. And I remember that being kind of the outrage around it. Pete, What's a game from you?
I was in a similar boat where I was actually a similar boat with Sharif, where I was having trouble thinking about games with stories that resonate with me. But from the aspect of like, well, I don't know if like any like game has like hit me in that regard. And like, I've had stories that have like hit me, but resonated. So I was thinking about it. I was like, well, what if I talked about specifically why the games resonated with me? So I have two, one of which isn't really a video game. And I just want to, we can talk about it if you want to. It's just
cheater.
A briefly touch. But the one I really want, the video game I want to talk about is Lunar the Silver Star, which was ported to PlayStation as Lunar the Silver Star Story, which is ported to Game Boy Advance as Lunar something else, and then Lunar Silver Star Harmony as the PSP, and it has not been ported since then, and I'm really sad that it has not been ported since then. It resonated me. The story is very simple, very basic. The hero, the girl gets captured, and the hero goes and tries to save the girl, you know, that kind of thing. And the story is really basic. But one of the things that I really appreciate about it, and the other game, if you decide you want to talk about it, we can discuss it, has a similar vibe, is that it was the first time I played a game, because I was only at the time, I was like four or five years old, where video gaming is such a unique storytelling aspect. And I mean, I didn't realize it at the time. It didn't register with me until years later. But that was the first time where I was playing a game where I was just like, oh, you can tell stories this way. And that's really what's always gravitated me towards video games. I've discussed it before on here, where video games is a unique storytelling mechanism, because you have books, you have movies, you have TV shows, radio broadcasts, you know, things like that, where they can tell stories, but you don't really, but you're just a spectator for the most part. I mean, the closest thing I think is like, you can do like a choose your own adventure book or something like that, where you have an effect on what actually happens. I used to actually love those from the library.
There's a few Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. There was a couple of sports ones I always did. Which was really funny when you picked the wrong one, and I remember one specific, baseball book where, there were two results that were like just jarringly, like you were supposed to be in like game seven of like some World Series championship knockoff. But like there were two paths you took where one, like you lost your team lost a game like 25-2, and the other way your team won 25-2. And then there was a bunch of other ones where like mostly like it was a really close game and like you just barely won. But it was funny. The first time I had to pick the decision tree in that book, where I lost 25-2. I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good at all. But getting back on topic, the storytelling mechanism for video games is unique in the sense you have an impact on the world. And being guaranteed, there are games like Mass Effect and Knights of the Old Republic and games like that where, and we talked about it with Fire Emblem, because Fire Emblem before, because like, you know, certain characters get killed off, or in Fire Emblem Three Hopes, like you lose the opportunity for getting certain characters, or not Chrono Cross, is it Chrono Crusade was the second one?
Chrono Cross is the second one.
Oh, Chrono Cross
Chrono
is the
Trigger
one.
Is the first one. Chrono Cross is the second one.
Anyway, Chrono Cross, you mentioned, Jeremy, like one of the unique things about that is certain characters you have, if you acquire, denies you access to the other characters later and stuff like that. And you have decision trees. But even the games like in Lunar, where you don't really have those decision trees, you kind of have follow the linear storyline, you still have an impact on the storyline, because you playing the game progresses the story. You have an interaction with the story, which is very interesting to me. And even was really like the thing that probably like captivated me back when I was first started playing video games, 4 or 5 years old, playing Sonic the Hedgehog and Sega Genesis, playing Lunar Silver Star like we're talking about now. And it was one of the first, it was the first time that, you know, like I said, it registered, like not necessarily I knew what was going on, and years later I figured it out, but that video games are storytelling, and it's very interesting because of the fact that you have such an impact on what's going on. And it's it can capture you like that, and you connect with these stories. Like you were talking about Mass Effect, we're talking about Final Fantasy X, where these characters are already built up, and you almost kind of connect with them more because you interact with them as the player. You don't just interact with them like reading their thoughts or reading their statements in a book or listening to them in a movie or a TV show. You actually have to go out of your way to talk to them. Like we actually just had that moment where you were discussing Jekt and parts that I actually had not realized were actually part of his story, because I didn't actually like search out those segments, I guess, and figured out that he ended up, he started slipping because, Father Time is undefeated and all that. And he ended up like going to drinking and stuff like that. And it kind of like affected his fatherhood and his, also his desire to, or his love of the spotlight. And I knew the former, not the latter, or the latter, not the former, but like, sometimes you have to, and that gives it the game's the replayability, right? Because you decide like, oh, there's stuff that I missed, you know, like Sharif, for instance, talking about Yakuza Like a Dragon, where it's like, hey, I want to get this trophy, and then I'm going to get these other trophies. It gives it that replayability, but a lot of those trophies and a lot of those scenes also add a little bit more to the story. It may not be a lot, like it's just a side quest, but like, you know, maybe there's another character that dives a little bit deeper into their storyline or into the why they do the things they do. And I think that's like honestly the best part about video games in general, is just that storytelling element that you have a certain amount of control over, even if it is just a platformer like Crash Bandicoot, where you're just running through a level, or Sonic the Hedgehog or Mario, but you still have like, you know, every moment is like with the Mario specifically, is every castle is like, ah, your princess is in another castle, but it might be in the next castle, and you got to go and go to the next one. And that story continues. And that's honestly the biggest part, I think, of video games that resonates with me in general. The Spider-Man story specifically that Sharif brought up is another one where it's just like, that game was so good. It was so awesome. And the story was so great. And I need to, now I'm just reminding myself that I need to play the Miles Morales extra part, the game that came out. So got to set up for that, especially with the new Into the Spider-Verse sequel coming out at some point before too long. So,
yeah, I mean, Sharif, is there anything you want to say off that?
Hit everything on the nose. While he was talking, I was just thinking about like certain games and how things impacted me. You know what, I can share this one. It's gonna wait till later in the podcast when we talked about one of the upcoming games, but I never forget, I always liked, well, I'm not gonna say always liked RPGs, because a lot of times I would fall asleep. But I remember Super Mario RPG being one of the first ones that I liked. Fast forward, I had a PSP. And, what is it? I didn't have many games like the first week or two that the system came out. And my brother lent me Legend of Heroes, A Tear of a Million. And I'm saying all that to say this. I went through a really, really bad breakup. So I needed something to do. So I would play that game. And that's kind of where, like, I got the love for RPGs. And I got to, you know, play something that made me feel a certain way. Or, oh, man, you can go ahead and do this and do that. Little did I know, that game was a Super Nintendo game. But it was redone for the PSP. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, to counter, or not counter, but to add to what you were saying, Pete, is like, even if you're not in a sense doing a choose your own adventure type of game, so like, you know, using Knights of the Old Republic or Mass Effect, where your choices impact the morale system or like how people perceive you or things like that, at the end of the day, when you play a game, even with it being a linear story, your actions still impact how the game plays. Because as you said, if I choose not to act, or if I choose to, like, if I, my actions lead to my characters dying over and over, the story never progresses. We never get anywhere. So at the end of the day, you still feel like, you know, playing that story is like, I helped that story come to light. I helped make that story see its finality. And that's kind of the thing why I love, RPGs for a lot of stances. It's like, yeah, at the end of the day, right, that the story will play out as long as the battles end with us as victors. The story will play out regardless of what choices I played. But for me, it's always like I feel like, choosing to use Fireball at this moment allowed for that battle to win and stuff. And Pete, you're kind of like putting your hand up. What do you want to say?
Kind of building off of that. Have you guys ever thought about what happens to the characters, like if you just stop playing?
Yes.
The biggest moment that happened to me was Final Fantasy 12. Where somebody brought that up. You ever thought about if video games that you stopped playing? And I was just like, well, if that was the case with Final Fantasy XII, my characters are still stuck in that desert and killing not sand people from Star Wars, just constantly going through. So I just had a question in general. Like, do you guys have a moment where you thought about it? It's like, huh, that'd be a really weird place for that story to actually stop at this point.
Yes.
Well, I'll say with Sonic, if you took too long to come back to the controller, he just jumped off the screen to his demise or wherever it was that happened. Yeah, ever since that, I kind of thought about that.
But yeah, no, it's I definitely think about that and know about that. And to actually reference a past episode, which if you guys haven't checked it out, go listen to it. My interview with Matt Sharp for Video Game Fables, that's what his game is built around. It's a world of the hero, the player, has not shown up for years, and they're trying to figure out how do we continue the story without a hero, you know? And so that's kind of what the story, the game is. And so, like, yeah, it's a thing that crosses my mind all the time. My mind, honestly, I think about a lot of things that probably, or I feel like the average person doesn't think about. So, like, we don't have to go down that route. But yes, I have thought about that with plenty of my games, or like there'll be like, for instance, a non-important character that you talk with at some point in the game and you just like see him, and I'm always just like, or them I should say, and you're just like, I wonder what they did after I talked with them. Like, what did that character go do? Did they just go like, all right, and went home? Or did they like realize who they were talking with? Or like, you know, what role does that, you know, impact have as you go down? And I want to talk about real quick before we kind of like wrap this up because of the timing sake, is one other game that I want to discuss. And Pete, I know you haven't played it, so of course I will try to avoid spoilers because I do recommend playing it and I think everyone else should play it, but I know Sharif has because we've talked about it and I like bombarded Sharif to play this game. But 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, that game is the most recent example personally of a game that I went into expecting to enjoy it. I expected to enjoy it. Everything about it said I would like this. But the story is what catapulted that game for me from being just, I really like this game, to it is one of my all-time favorite games. And the way that it plays out, so for those that don't know, just as a surface level of it, the game is a kaiju game, so it deals with invaders essentially from an outside world, and the players that you utilize use mechs in a sense to fight back against these invaders of the world. But the game knows in a sense that it is about a kaiju and stuff, because they make reference about watching kaiju movies and stuff of that nature. But it's just how that game plays out, how the way that you unfold the story, the fact that it forces you to use these 13 characters in certain orders to make the world fit. And when it finally comes together all the way at the end, I was blown away by that game. And it, again, is one of my all-time favorites. Sharif, what was your thoughts after playing 13 Sentinels?
I don't think we can say that on this podcast, but I'll say this. Not many games have I played, I went to look up like a video after I beat the game to make sure that I understood everything. Caught some things that I didn't understand, went back to the game to play some more to just see like other stuff that I didn't see originally. Like that game blew my mind because what I thought was going on wasn't what was going on. It was just detailed with so much stuff to pick up. I definitely recommend that everybody play that game.
Yeah. It is definitely kind of going back to what you said earlier, Pete, where like when I, you know, about picking up things with Jet and not, you know, not picking up things and stuff of that nature. 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim is going to require you to think about what you're seeing and what you're reading to really grasp that whole story. But as Sharif is kind of saying, once it clicks, once everything clicks, at least for me, it was a holy crap, this game is amazing. And not to do a spoiler, but like a slight spoiler, I don't know how they would ever be able to do a prequel or a sequel of that game. It is definitely a self-contained game, but God, I hope that there is something like that. Like, even if it is...
Can I add to what you're saying?
Say that again?
I said, can I add to what you're saying?
Yes.
That game is a prequel, sequel, and regular game all in one, because there's a couple of characters that you think you hate, but in reality you don't really hate, because what you think you see isn't what you see.
Yeah.
So they covered everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you can do anything.
That's
yeah,
my
that's
point.
What I'm saying.
That's
they,
my point.
They are their own prequel.
There's like, I don't know how you would do it, but I hope that there is something like that down the line or some point, because it was such an amazing game. It's one of the few games that I got a platinum trophy on because I absolutely love it.
Damn, that's impressive. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just I'm actually the part of the thing I'm doing right now is looking up to see how much it costs, if I can get it relatively cheaply.
It goes on sale regularly nowadays because of the fact, like, it's been out for, I think, like a year and a half now, almost 2 years. Yeah. I think it released in 2020 here in the U.S. But, like, it released on Switch last year, I think it is. And so, yeah, it goes on sale regularly, but I highly recommend it, especially around Black Friday. It'll go on sale. I think it was, like, $20 or something last Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple of games I'm actually – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sharif. Sharif.
That's it. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll probably look to get it at some point. There's a couple other games I wanted to buy. I was thinking about getting Elden Ring and to try that out, and also the new Pokemon game coming up as kind of like my two big purchases outside of like the normal stuff this year. But going back to what y'all were saying, like having to dig up stuff, I find that awesome. I do that crap all the time, even the stuff that doesn't, like, maybe there's only like one character that in a show or an anime or a game that interests me, and the rest of it's kind of whatever. And I am firmly into the idea of diving into like a TV tropes or a wiki and just finding all this information. I fall into those rabbit holes all the time. And honestly, going to another game, Final Fantasy IX, that one was already like great like one of my all timers before this, but like reading up on some of the characters and some of the extra stuff that they did with that game. And then also just thinking of like, there was like some well-written fan fiction of like some scenes that could have been in part of the game, but weren't, specifically with the interactions between Zidane and Garnet Dagger, to develop their relationship even more. That actually like made me even love the game even more. Just like, it's almost like just headcanon that like these scenes actually happened. And I do that kind of stuff all the time. So like, it's really great that this game was so deep that like, it was great when you guys, when y'all played it. And then you also like wanted to make sure you understood everything that was going on, that you did even more research after the fact. It's almost like you had to double dip with the game. And sometimes you do that by just playing the game over again. And sometimes you just, you know, you dive into a wiki and stuff like that. That's just awesome.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal game. I think everyone should play it. Sharif, I want to ask you real quick before we get to the upcoming games, because Pete already announced, of course, the two big games that he's kind of looking to grab this year. But for yourself, as we get towards the end of the year, what big games are you looking to grab? And if any of them are they because of the potential story or the story that you know will be there?
Heroes, mainly, and God of War.
The Legend of Heroes and God of War?
It for me, honestly, other than Gundam, yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, Gundam too. Yeah, yeah, I gotta get on that Legend of Heroes train, man. I got the first one on Steam downloaded, and I play it periodically. Man, I gotta get on that train, but like every time it's just I know how long that whole thing is.
Oh, yeah.
Just that first game, not to mention those three games that are like all a trilogy, and then you got Cold Steel and you got all this other crap that's going on, and it's just like, it's so long. But every time I play it, I have fun, and all the characters and storyline is just so interesting. And it's just
So we're speaking on, of course, a podcast about story. And let me just say this, the Legend of Heroes story is absolutely amazing. But like you said, Pete, they're all long games. So you definitely have to like be prepared to do it. But what I do love about it, to say real quick, is like I do love the fact that every part of the Legend of Heroes stories are actually in the same world, all dealing with each other. And that's kind of the cool part, because you have, you know, like Final Fantasy, obviously one of my favorite series. There are overlapping parts and stuff, but they're all self-contained stories. Or you have games where it's like, oh yeah, you know, this game 1 and 2 deal with the same story, but this game that is like the same title, but like, of course, they add like a little subtitle to it. That is like 100 years in the future or 100 years in the past, or like something that's like slightly different. But no, the Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky arc, this one that's we're about to talk about, the Legend of Heroes Trails from Zero, or as they call it, the Crossbell arc, the Cold Steel arc, all of those are in the same world, impacting each other, things of that nature. And so like it's such a good thing. But yeah, Pete, you gotta jump on the train like old Sharif and I here. It's worth it. It's a lot of time, but it's worth it.
I'll get on that, don't you worry.
All right, before we get to our upcoming releases, is there anything else, Sharif, you want to add?
Anyone knows already.
All right, sounds good. Pete, how about yourself?
Oh, man, just video gaming's fun, man. It's great. Storytelling's great. Video games are fun, man. It's just great. This episode was awesome. I was really happy to be part of it, honestly.
Well, we are going to definitely at some point do a part two of this aspect in this discussion. And maybe on that part two, we'll be able to bring a game that we all have played and make it even better in that one.
Where's the fun in that, though?
Well, I don't know. But I will tell you where the fun is in next week's games that are releasing if you want to buy them. So here's games that are coming out starting with Friday, September 23rd. We have Shovel Knight Dig for Switch, PC, and iOS. DreamWorks Dragons Legends of the Nine Realms for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Monday, September 26th, you have World of Warcraft Wrath of the Lich King Classic for PC. Tuesday, September 27th, you have Grounded Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC. That, of course, is on Xbox Game Pass. Dual Universe for PC. Hoko Life for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Life is Strange Remastered Collection for Switch. The Fridge is Red for PC. The Legend of Heroes Trails from Zero for PS4, Switch, and PC. Tunic for PS5 and PS4. Moonscars for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. That, if I remember correctly, is also coming to Game Pass. Wednesday, September 28th, you have Destroyer, the U-Boat Hunter for PC. Thursday, September 29th, you have Dorfromantic for Switch. Brewmaster for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. From Space for Switch, PC, and Stadia. FIFA 23 for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Moonbreaker for PC. Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Valkyrie Elysium for PS5 and PS4. Valkyrie Profile Lenith for PS5 and PS4. And then Friday, September 30th, you have My Little Pony, A Maritime Bay Adventure for PS5. We'll start with you, Sharif. Any of these catching your attention? I already know one of them is.
With the exception of Trails.
You said nothing. You've been cutting off a little bit there. So you said nothing besides Trails?
Elysium, with the exception of Trails.
Elysium. Yes, I understand that one. How about you, Pete?
So usually on this podcast, we try to talk about some of the smaller games, the indie games. So this week, it's all the big names. Everything, the Shovel Knight new game looked good. I know a lot of people are going to be probably excited about this WoW classic Wrath of the Lich King, because that game was just like bananas when it came out. We already mentioned Legend of Heroes. Probably the one that I was like looking forward to the most was My Little Pony. No, I'm kidding. I think I was looking forward to, honestly, probably the DreamWorks Dragons was probably the one that was like not one of the bigger name games. So I was just like, oh, this one looks like it could be kind of interesting. I probably won't buy it, but that's probably the one. I don't even know if it's technically an indie game, but that'd be the one where I was just kind of like, eh, maybe this one could kind of sort of get there.
Yeah, I don't know if DreamWorks would technically be labeled an indie game because of the backing that DreamWorks brings, but it's definitely like, you know, not going to be one of your major studios that everyone kind of thinks about that put that game out. Yes, as you said, that of course we normally try to highlight some of the more indie titles. So the only title that I can really push out there is Moonbreaker, that one which was announced at the Gamescom press conference. Seemed really cool. I have it downloaded. I'm in the beta for it. That's supposed to be going on some point this weekend. This month, at the time of our recording. I have not seen an announcement of when that beta is actually going to take place just yet. So I will get to play it at some point, and I'm hoping that it's good. But I am going to just point out, because this week is the start of the really tough decision week. I shouldn't say this week, actually. Last week's episode, the one that you guys are going to hear last week, that's the start of it. But this one adds to it with The Legend of Heroes, Trails from Zero, Valkyrie Elysium, Valkyrie Profile, Lenith. This is now the tough part of the year, in my opinion, where it starts to become more difficult on what games are you going to buy, what games are you not going to buy. So that's all the games that we are looking forward to, and I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, because that's all that we have for this episode. As Pete said, this was a really fun episode, and we will definitely do a part two at some point about this. So, Pete, I'll start with you first. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we send them off into the weekend?
Nothing for the listeners specifically, but, Jeremy, have a good and safe move, man. I hope new location's great, and I hope the house is fun, and I hope Zyra has all the grass she can run all over and crap all over.
She will definitely do that. We'll just make sure that's not even going to be a question. It'll definitely happen. Sharif, how about yourself? Anything you want to leave our listeners with before we send them off into the weekend?
Wash your hands, wash your face, be polite. Buy Tunic, buy Trails, all the Trails games. Yeah. And please, brush your teeth.
Yeah, Sharif always telling you, watch your hygiene. Just do it. It's great for you, all right? It helps out. It avoids a lot of issues.
It's too hot to smell ass.
Exactly. For myself, I'm going to just say, as I said, we've talked about it, of course, on here. Video games are fun. It's why we do this a lot. So make sure you check out all these games. Any purchases helps out, even for games that are on sale. All those purchases really do help out, because I do want to pass along, of course. Sometimes studios have to close. We're going to talk about this probably in one of the episodes, but I did see, of course, a studio that had a game that released and did very well. It shut down because, of course, no publication studio wanted to publish their upcoming game. So, again, show these studios that you want these games by putting your money towards it, because that's what it always ends up coming down to at the end. But that's all that we have here for this episode of the One More Game Podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, aka Darcy. This is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia, and this is Sharif, Don't Do Me Dirty because all I want is love, Hamilton, and we really enjoy bringing this to you. So as always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.